بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The dunya and the akhirat are like co-wives. If you want to please one, the other is going to be definitely displeased. There can't be any other way. You're going to be leaning towards one, the other is going to be complaining. So it's going to be a constant struggle. There's not going to be a point in time where you're not going to have this struggle, where you're not going to have this fight. You do something for one, and the other one has to complain. You do something for the other, and the first one is going to complain. So there's not going to be a time where you're going to have total harmony between the both. So one that takes care of his dunya, he's going to cause some harm to his akhirat. If he's over conscious and over mindful about his dunya, then he's going to damage his akhirat. And if he's over mindful about his akhirat, apparently it would only seem and appear that he's going to cause some harm to his dunya. To strike a perfect balance between the both is not anybody's work. In khiyalast wa mahalast wa junoon, this is just an imagination, it is only an illusion, it is madness. In khiyalast wa mahalast wa junoon, that you strike a total balance between the both. But the advantage is this, that one who is possessed or is obsessed with his akhirat, then Allah Ta'ala makes his world quite comfortable for him. He may not have all the enjoyments, he may not have all the accessories, all the appliances, and all the type of luxuries that people have. But inner satisfaction, Allah Pak will give him at such a level that he is not concerned about the rest. He gets such a deep level of inner satisfaction and contentment, he's not worried. In fact, he feels sorry for the others. I was with one friend of mine, and we were visiting a person, very, very wealthy, extremely wealthy. He insisted that we should come to his business, make dua for him. All right. So sometimes that is their deen. We dua for them, that's their deen. Anyway, you treat the person according to his commitment. But my friend, with tears in his eyes, though he's a businessman, he says, Allah, don't give me something like this. Oh Allah, don't give me something like this. And I would tell you very safely, without any exaggeration, his net income, after all expenses, should be over $1 million a day. Over $1 million a day. And my friend told me, Allah, please don't give me this. With his heart, with tears in his eyes, telling me, Allah, please don't give me something like this. So it comes, but it comes with a price. And the akhirat, the price it comes with, is the level of your inclination, the level of your turning around to Allah Ta'ala. The more you turn, and the more you incline, the more you will find satisfaction, you will find the ease, and you will find the comfort mentally, spiritually, physically, in every respect you will find some comfort. One person had come and complained about some type of constraints that he was going through. The nature of his complaint was that everything in his flat is just breaking apart, falling apart. 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, and the whole thing is crumbling. He's got such a thing, well, he could afford, that was what he could afford, and everything is just breaking down. The place itself is so constrained that he can't perform 2 rakat namaz properly. So anyway, he carried on, and then he tells me, okay, Mawla, I have decided now that I'm just going to leave that house, I'm going to sit in the street, I'm really frustrated of life, I'm going to stand in the street, taking my wife and my children with, we'll go and stay in the street, than living in this type of constraints and difficulties. So anyway, I asked him, all right, Bhai, what's your intention of you going and taking your family and your children with? He said, well, they must follow me wherever I go. All right. But now you have brought yourself right into the street, brought your children to the street, will they feel comfortable there? He said, no, but I am the imam, I am the captain, so they must just follow me. But what was the need? If you want to go here, is that a better option? Here you were in a constraint, you were living in difficulty, and against living in a difficulty, living in a street, is that going to bring any more comfort and ease? He thought for a moment, says no. Then I told him, brother, you know what? Since I've got an informal relationship with you, I've got an open relationship with you, I can tell you what is the root of your problem. The root of your problem is, you want to come onto the street, right? And you have got acquaintances and people that know you very well. So they will see you in this and they will give you some assistance. Is this right or not? I said, yeah, Mullah, I'm embarrassed about it, but this is the very, very intention that I've got. So, well, then that's asking, it's begging. And begging and asking is not just done in one style. We think, you know, begging on the street, there someone is asking for some money near the robot, that's begging and asking, he knocks at the door and he's asking. But there's different ways, different approaches to ask. As-su'alu dhullun. Asking and begging is really a disgrace. Then I went on to tell him, see, man's needs don't end. Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu anhu, he had come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for some assistance. Rasulullah sallam had granted it to him, and then the second time. But Hakim was a Hakim, he was a wise, very wise person. Rasulullah only had to tell him once, this wealth, it's attractive, it is sweet, it is attractive, it looks very nice. He's got this car, he's got this building, he's got this property, he's flying here, there, everywhere. So that life seems attractive, it seems appealing to any person. إِلَّا مَنْ أَخَذَهَا بِحَقٍ. But the one that has taken it in the honest way, it's taken it in the right way, he's an exception to the case. In other words, he's fulfilled everybody's duties, Allah's duty, his family's duties, his relatives' duties, his dini duties, every duty he has taken care of, then that's, you know, a very marginal percent, very short percent, small percent of the person who keeps that perfect balance. Otherwise, there is some imbalance. That's why the hadith says that, oh traders, you know, your trade is mixed up, it's always contaminated. Sometimes you say something and you're a little bit harsh sometimes. Sometimes you are aggressive. Sometimes you say something, whatever else. So your business is contaminated. So clean up your contamination. Clean that impurity off. Give something away and purge your system from that impurity, from that napaki that has got into the business. So this is going to happen. You're going to interact with people. Someone does the work like you want him to do it. Someone's not going to do it. Someone you've extorted the work, but you haven't paid him as you're supposed to be paying him. So this type of inconsistency or discrepancy is going to take place. So when this type of discrepancy is going to be there, then clean it up. Don't let it accumulate. See, it's small there, and you clean it up, it's easy. And if you allow the thing to accumulate, you know, if there's filth in the system, and that filth has not been purged out, then tomorrow it can become a tumor, it can become cancerous. Then the whole treatment that goes with it. Rather, it comes and it goes out. It comes and it goes out. It comes and it goes out. So clean it up. Clean it up. And when you clean it up with a smile, with a cheer. Don't do it grudgingly. They say, Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, and these verses were revealed, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You can't reach up to the levels of piety and righteousness until you spend of that which you love. So he had come to Rasulullah SAW and he says, بَيْرُحَا. And we had also seen that manzil, istifa manzil, in those days, around the 70s, 80s, you've seen that. So now it's including to the haram, now you can't see it at all. So that's the most desired thing in my sight. I'm giving this out in sadaqah. ذَلِكَ مَالٌ رَابِحٌ أَوْ قَالَ رَائِحٌ. A wonderful bargain you have struck. So Rasulullah then suggested to him that give it to your families. Alright, Hassan ibn Sabit and Ubay ibn Ka'b, they were his closest families. One is the, joining him up in the third, fourth generation, and one in the sixth generation. Fathers, fathers, fathers for sixth generation. I don't think there's anybody sitting here that knows his sixth generation. These Arabs are so particular. They did that so that they could maintain good, healthy family relationship. Well, I need to give it, I'll give it there. And my reward is doubled. Yeah. So anyway, he wouldn't spend it out like that. Now, sometimes we get a when we read this hadith, we understand it incorrectly. We feel, in order to get the special elite class of righteousness and virtue, we need to spend that we love most. No, what we love, the Quran says what we love. Now that was Abu Talha radiallahu anhu. He spent what he loved most, right? He loved that and he loved it very well. Rasulullah used to come into that orchard. He used to enjoy the shade, he used to enjoy that water. So he gave that which he loved most, most, most. But the Quran Sharif is gentle. That what you love. From things that what you love, you give. But it doesn't mean all, there's some part of it. You got 10 kurtas, one kurta, you like it. Or 3-4 kurtas are your select kurtas. So you didn't take that kurta that was a little bit torn and patched and all that. I said, Mari Bakri Khuda ke naam. Mari Bakri Khuda ke naam. Okay, that is dead now, that give it Allah Pak's name. One banya. A banya, they like money, you see. Gujarati, they call them wanya. And in Urdu, they call them banya. Same thing. Money lenders, etc. So he climbed one tree, coconut tree, to pluck some coconut. Very high, he went up. Now he went up there, now he doesn't know how to come down. So he says, if only I get down safely, then this milking cow, I give it out in sadaqah. I make a vow, I give this whole thing out. In India, that milking cow is a very valuable asset. If someone had lived in India, that cow or the buffalo that is giving milk, it's a very valuable asset. They keep it right near the house. So now he's struggling somehow, he made the vow now. He's now maneuvering himself, coming down. As he came three-quarter way, he's only about 2 meters. He said, no, I think I meant that, not that cow, that goat. From where to where? I didn't mean that. I meant the goat, you know. So anyway, I see he comes only about 1/2 meter. He said, no. You know, I meant really that fowl, you know, that fowl you got in the backyard. That I meant. And then when he came, saved, came right down. He says, no. He found a cockroach and he stabbed the thing and he killed it. He says, jaan ke badle jaan. Life for life, you see. That my life got saved, I need to take on life. So, the idea is what you're giving, let it be not a scrap thing. Scrap. You know, Allah Pak has given it to you. When He's given it to you and He's asking you for it, then you give Him, my beloved, Allah Pak is asking. So you give Him something that you like. It's dear to your heart. Then He will give you things that you like. But you giving Him scraps, then He'll give you scraps as well. Will you like that? La tu'i fa yu'i alayk. You're going to count and you're going to become miserly. Then Allah Ta'ala can have the same approach towards you. He doesn't do that. Allah Pak is not like that. But He can also have the same approach towards you. The way you economizing, the way you budgeting, He could do the same towards you. How would you feel? That's why this type of vowing is not a likable thing. وَإِنَّمَا يُسْتَخْرَجُ بِهِ مِنَ الْبَخِيلِ لَا يَرُدُّ مِنَ الْقَدْرِ شَيْئًا. This type of vowing that we do, you know, we're bargaining with Allah Ta'ala. Get me right in my exams, I'll give 1,000 rands. You know, you Allah Pak get me right in this court case, I'll give 5,000 rands. So this is bargaining, sodagari, you know. Allah Pak, you do this to me, I will see you right. You do this for me, then I will see you right. So this is now bargaining with Allah Ta'ala. You don't bargain with Allah Ta'ala. All that happens in this type of bargaining, when you're making a vow in this way, يُسْتَخْرَجُ بِهِ مِنَ الْبَخِيلِ. It doesn't change the taqdeer in any way. But it only takes out that money from that bakhil. That bakhil wouldn't have given it. But now when he's in a calamity, when he's in a fix, he says, Allah Bak, you see me right here? I will see you right, Allah Bak. Allah Bak, you see me right. So in that state of hysteria, he says these type of things. Allah Bak, you see me right, and I will see you right. So Allah Bak doesn't like that. It doesn't mean that nazar and vowing is not a likable thing. Because when Allah speaks about the person that is fulfilling his vow, then Allah speaks with him about him in praise. Yufuna bin nazar. Now that's a nazar, that's a vow that is unconditional. Allah Bak, Asumu laka yawmaini. Asumu lillahi yawmaini. For 2 days consecutively I will fast. So unconditional vow, that is the vow that is liked. That is the vow that Allah Ta'ala appreciates. That unconditional, don't make conditional. Allah, you see me right, I'll see you right. As though you're doing business with Allah Ta'ala. Then He doesn't appreciate that. See? You have a husband and a wife relationship. You don't tell, you see me right, I will see you right. It's unconditional. That love is unconditional. You don't even say, don't even talk about it. You know, you cook so well, so they will take 50 rand. And you do it again, they'll give you another 100 rand. You don't have that type of relationship with your wife. That's a relationship of love. So now you want to reduce a relation with Allah Ta'ala as though it's a businessman, you're doing business with Allah Ta'ala. Where's the love gone? Is there any love in this equation? Allah Ta'ala wants that relationship to be a relationship of love, a relationship of muhabbat, a relationship of ecstasy, of muhabbat. Put some life into your ibadat, into your acts of virtue, whatever deed you are doing, but add some life. My Allah Ta'ala, how will He like it? You had a bad patch with your wife, for example. Now you came right, everything is just working out right. Now in the business, you are thinking, hey, what must I do to just attract her for that moment? What must I do? You know, she likes this type of pastry from this shop, here, country bake. It must be like this. It must be the finish, you know. And, you know, it must be packed up like this. And let me give her a surprise, you know. So all these arguments will be putting into your mind. Why? Just to win that love. Won't you do that? You will do that because you appreciate that love. When you went through that heart patch and the 3-4 months you were separated, you know how you were turning and tossing around. Now everything fixed up and everything is gelling very, very well. You just want an addition to that. Don't you want an addition? Don't you want that muhabbat to be escalating all the time? You want that to be escalating. So this is that love with Allah Ta'ala. That love needs to be escalating all the time. Don't have it like a business. No, Allah, I see you right for my namaz. Allah, my business must work out. No. Allah, what you're doing is a favor. I'm not paying you for this. Really, I'm not paying you for this. Really, this is just my broken token of appreciation. I couldn't do this well also. I couldn't do this well. This is the token of appreciation for the fact that you have given me life, for the fact that you have given me Islam, for the fact that you have given me so much of respect, for the fact that you didn't bring any disgrace to me or to my children or to my wife. You haven't made any of them retarded, backwards. Allah Ta'ala, I owe you so much. I owe you so much. Imagine a man and the reasoning in him has disappeared. Is there any value in that man? The greatest potential, the greatest facility, or they would say the greatest faculty, the highest faculty Allah Ta'ala restored in you. Then you need to show the greatest type of appreciation, the greatest faculty, your brains are working right. Imagine that everything else and that faculty wasn't working. Are you worth anything? You're not worth anything in front of anybody. You're not worth anything. They don't want to see you. They don't want to talk to you. It's a waste of time, this man. That faculty isn't working. That faculty is working. You don't have anything else. But that faculty is working. You are reasoning right. You are sleeping right. Isn't that enough reason for you to show Allah Ta'ala thanks? Allah Ta'ala, you got me right. Allah Ta'ala, I'm not in disgrace and embarrassment. I'm not in a humiliating situation. That my children or myself, I'm drugging or humanizing or I'm clubbing. Is that not sufficient reason that we should thank Allah Ta'ala and cry tears of blood showing appreciation to Allah Ta'ala? And then you see how Allah Ta'ala. So let your ibadat be real. You know, you are talking to one Allah Ta'ala. Not just a formality, you're coming here, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. I don't say, it is a grace of Allah Ta'ala. It is His magnificence. It is His greatness. It is His graciousness. That broken ibadat also is accepting. But when He is so magnificent, He is so gracious, right? Should we take advantage over the situation? Or should we be crying, Allah Ta'ala, you're doing so much. We're not doing anything. Allah Ta'ala, you're doing, you're pouring, and you're pouring, and you're pouring, and you're giving, and you're giving, and you're giving all the time. And then we don't show you that type of gratitude. Our ibadat has just become a routine of formality. There's no life in it. Is that the price that we are giving to Allah Ta'ala's love. So allow your mind to think sometimes on Allah Ta'ala. Not behind this, not only behind this, must open this shop or that shop. Hardware or software. What shop must open? That's the only thing we think of, hardware or software. Hardware or software. But let your mind go somewhere else now. Hard and soft now, that's enough. Allah Ta'ala gave so long life. Enough is given you now. Things, let your mind go in some other way now. The people of Madina Munawara, when they would reach the age of 40, then apne dukaan ko lapet dete, close up the shop. Allah Pak, you know, you've given us 40 years of our lives. So much you've given us for 40 years of our lives. Now at least half has ended in all your grace, all your favor. Half we should dedicate it entirely to you. Now whatever I've accumulated within these 40 years now, let me dedicate it towards you. See the intelligence, the reason of these people. You know, you think of Madina Munawara and the people there. Really a loving people. I was there after Fajr in my Ishraq namaz and all. I was just leaving some many years ago. So I just remembered my mother wanted one tasbih. She wanted one particular type, so I just went through the shop. Nice, big shop it was. And I saw the man, he's in Ishraq, really brought tears to my eyes. Big, big business he's got. He's gone to attendance, and man, Chacha, comfortably, he's engaged in namaz, Ishraq namaz. He's doing his business, but what stops him from performing namaz in the shop? Will that namaz bring any type of disgrace to your shop? It'll bring respect to your shop. Really, it'll bring respect to your shop. Let that masjid be in your house. Let that masjid be inside your shop. Don't let that business be in the masjid. Don't take that business into the masjid. Bring the masjid into the house. Bring it into the shop. Bring it into your business. Bring it into your office. Masjid, that masjid atmosphere. That type of atmosphere, that type of warmth, that type of muhabbat, that type of ethos, bring it into the home, bring it into the office, bring it into the business, then you see it's a different person. You're the same businessman, but you're a different outlook, as though you're a different planet now. See? So this is what Allah Pak is saying, that وَإِنَّمَا يُسْتَخْرَجُ بِهِ مِنَ الْبَخِيلِ, that money that person gives, you know, when he's bargaining with Allah Ta'ala, then that it just removes that penny from that bakhil. Otherwise, that bakhil wouldn't have given. He wouldn't have given. Now, he will only give when he's in that constraint, that difficulty, then he will give. Otherwise, normally with love, with muhabbat, you know, to show it as an appreciation, Allah Ta'ala, you've done this. And I ask you, how many times do we take the pain and ask Allah, think, enumerate, reflect to ourselves, Allah, what you have done for me, what you have done for me, what you have done for me. You know? Sometimes you think about it. Allah, I could have been right at the verge of sin, a woman or a club or whatever else. I could be right at the verge. Allah, you didn't allow me to go into it. Allah, I could have been disgraced. I could have been finished, you know. But Allah, you saved me from this. I was in wherever I was, in China, I was in Japan, I was in wherever. But Allah, you just saved me. You know, I could be just within millimeters of sin, of guna and haram. But it was you that saved me, Allah. You saved my name, you saved my izzat, you saved everything of me. You save my izzat, you save my children's izzat. Allah Ta'ala, what can I do for you? Then when you think like this, when you talk like this, and you're talking to Allah Ta'ala, then you believe in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then you're going to be, your ibadah is going to be at a different level. The quality of that ibadah is going to be different. It's not going to be just a routine. Now that ibadah just has been transformed into a routine. And as I say, the grace of Allah Ta'ala, it's His magnificence, that this also He accepts. This is now mine. My banda. Now he's making a broken effort in this belated 21st century. I would accept this also from him. That is his grace, his gratitude. That is his generosity. Should we take advantage over his generosity or should we cry? Allah Pak, you're doing this for me and you're doing this for me. Allah Pak really appreciates that. Ash-shakiru ta'im kasa'imil qa'im, comes in Bukhari Sharif. You eat well, but show sugar to Allah Ta'ala. You're eating one morsel of food and you're bursting out in tears, Allah, that morsel of food. So much of effort is gone, so much of effort, so much of spice, so much of virtue, so much of quality in that food, so much of taste in it, Allah, I'm enjoying it. And it's going out the system, it's digesting well, it's coming out well, it's turning into blood. Allah, everything you're doing for me, Allah, let me be your servant now. You've done so much for me, let me be yours. You have done everything for me, now let me be yours. So when you're thinking like this, at least twice or thrice in the day, and then see what a change it makes, what a flavor you get into your ibadat. At least thrice, four times in the day. Eating something, enjoying something, you're seeing good business. But then you ask Allah Ta'ala, that customer that came to the house, to the shop, was it of your own? Allah Pak put into his mind, you come into this shop. It's not your achievement. Otherwise, many people, big people, are just going down. And Allah Pak send those people, inspire them, you come to this shop here. You go for this business here. You go to this man. So who gave that intelligence and reasoning? Who gave that brains? Who gave that inspiration that you go into this business, you go into this, and I will send the people down to you? It's Allah Pak, purely Allah Pak. It's Allah Pak's work. So, in your mind, then think, talk to Allah Ta'ala. Even though it's mentally, verbally, whichever way, but talk to Allah Ta'ala. Get talking to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And then you see your ibadah is different. So that hadith says, At-ta'im, ash-shakir, you're eating. But you are thankful. Eat, enjoy. I don't say don't enjoy, you enjoy. The type of food that you're eating, enjoy it. They have that variety. Don't squeeze yourself, enjoy it. Don't eat unhealthy foods, obviously. But enjoy the thing. But from within the heart, then make shukr as well. Allah, you've given me. I really don't qualify for this. I don't deserve this. I don't qualify. I don't deserve it. But it's your mercy. It's your rahm. It's your karam. Who's kareem? Who is kareem? Kareem is that one. Yu'ti bila istihqaqin. He gives. Even though you don't deserve, then he gives it to you. You don't deserve it, but he's giving it to you. That is kareem. So, at-ta'im ash-shakir. So, Allah Pak is posting your martaba. Because you're thankful, you're ever thankful. You're not complaining, you're not bitter, you're not grumbling, you're not a grumbler. You're thankful to Allah Ta'ala. You're thankful to your wife. You're thankful to the servant or the worker of yours. These are the three levels that you will be thankful to. Towards Allah Ta'ala primarily, then towards your wife and those people that have been good towards you, and then to your worker. You are thankful to them. You are thankful, you appreciate them. Because today it's the worker that is under you. Tomorrow you could be under him. So you're grateful to him. You see him, right? Never mind. You're sick, now I take this. You are a little bit in a problem, never mind. I'll help you out, never mind. So you're thankful to them. Now you are thankful. At every level you are thankful. At the level of Allah Ta'ala, at the level of your family, at the level of your subordinate, but you're thankful. Tomorrow, Allah Ta'ala, you could have reversed the thing around. So Allah Ta'ala, I'm thankful to him. So then Allah Ta'ala gives you also accordingly. You thankful and you appreciative. Then Allah Ta'ala gives you also like that. So the hadith says, Kal qa'im is-saim, like as though you're making tahajjud namaz, and you are fasting all the time. You're fasting and making tahajjud namaz. It's an easy prescription, easy way. But be thankful. Be appreciative. Think about these aspects and be thankful. Really, you know, thanks and appreciation is not just a thing that will bring you closer to Allah Ta'ala. It will give you a better health, a better quality of life. You'll be a happier person. But just that element of gratitude. And everything you'll find, you know, if you think about any situation from different perspectives, different dimensions, you'll feel and you'll understand the reason for you to be thankful. So we're talking about Hakim ibn Hazim radiallahu ta'ala, Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu ta'ala. Rasulullah tells him thereafter. And the one that takes it and takes it not rightly, he's asking and he's begging, etc. Then huwa kalladhi ya'kulu wa la yashba'u, is like the person that eats but he's never satiated, he's never satisfied. You open one door to ask and to beg. You open one door, right? Then you thought now everything will be sorted out. The moment you open that door, the second door, another line of needs has opened out to you. A third line of need has opened out to you. And the fourth line of need has opened out to you. So there isn't a point where you come and where you say, no, I am totally satisfied. I'm totally content. So what you have got, then be satisfied. Don't just think of progressing. This is one way of begging. The other way of begging is just 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, and multiply all the time. That's not the way. كَالَّذِي يَأْكُلُ وَلَا يَشْبَعُ. Then you'll become like that person that eats, but he's never satisfied. That little bit of moderation, doing business, not a problem. It came without any effort, without real difficulty. There was an opportunity. No difficulty was there. Really, you dedicated more time to Allah Ta'ala, and then something opened up, and it doesn't take any of your time. Very good. No, who says don't do it? Do it. Enjoy it. It's coming halal, it's coming pure. Nobody says don't do it. But yet, yes, it's going to infringe onto your ibadat time, then don't do it. In the old days, you know, people weren't educated. But really, they had the priorities right. I'm talking about the 50s and the early 60s. Really, they had their priorities right. I know of one old man. He got a business. He's all right. He's just knocking even. And 2-3 doors away, one person offers him half the rent and double the size. So the man's answer was, you see, with this one business, I'm just knocking even, I'm doing my namaz, everything on time, reading my Quran Sharif, my zikr, everything is going on very well. And you give me an added responsibility with double the price and all, double the size, I don't think I'll manage it. And I won't do justice to my ibadah, to my zikr, to my tilawat, to my Quran Sharif, I won't do justice. So why must I take this on? Again, you come to the same point, you know, it's like a co-wife. You're going to be good to one, you're going to harm the other. You're going to be good to this one, you're going to harm the other. There's no two ways about it. So I explain this person here, but you see, that's the world. You try and fix up one thing, you know, you open up one door. You open up one door of begging and asking for assistance, then you'll find that there is a never ending door. You find another need, a need for something else, and a need for something else, and a need for something else. You must look good in yourself, how much Allah Ta'ala has looked at you favorably. Like I say, so much of disgrace He's helped you out. Humiliation He's helped you out. You could have been humiliated. Your child could have been a bisexual. Allah make us maaf. But this is a reality, it's happening. You could have been like that. And people could have been telling you in the masjid, oh, bhai, what happened to your child? And how embarrassed you would have felt. But Allah can save you from all that disgrace, all that humiliation. And this is what shukr you're showing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that worth it? كَالَّذِي يَأْكُلُ وَلَا يَشْبَعُ. He eats, but he is not satisfied. So, the easy way is, we take cognizance of this. We take cognizance of this. And give something to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Someone that is poor around them. I don't say it has to be the most expensive thing, but from the things that you like. Things that you like, you adore. Things that you appreciate. Give something to the poor, whoever else, but give something. Always make it a routine, make it a daily practice, something that you are giving. And remember, you're giving, you'll be returned. You are giving and you will be... It's like, you know, a simple example to illustrate this. Is a draft, you know. So you got one window for the wind to go out and one window for the wind to get in. But if you want to close one door, you're closing the ventilation. So you got one door for the outlet, so it'll carry on coming. It'll carry on coming. And that's the routine. That's the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you digest it, then you can take some more. But if you're not digested, then you're bloated, then you can't eat. So you need an outlet. You need the thing to go out for new and fresh ones to come in. You do it, Allah will give. He will give. So that's an easy way to create a balance. But more or less than just incline yourself towards Allah Ta'ala more. Each coming day, incline yourself. Don't leave things around completely. You need that. Why you need that? Because for all of us, myself included, we need some world, some of the world for our sanity and for our ibadah to go right. If you have nothing of the world, your ibadah will go off. All your ibadah will go off. Like, hey, what's going to happen now? I'm going to pay the rental. And what's going to happen to the children's food? Whatever. Your mind is going to go all everywhere. So you keep that, you look after that, take care of that, but give something, a little bit, how much you can manage. That which is crap, that which is wasted now, can't go anywhere else, and then you give that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, really, it's not appreciated. One woman prepared some nice mitai, you know, there'll be some big occasion or something. So some nice mitai, gajar alwa, something she prepared, you see. So, as she prepared that thing, put the badams in the works and all, you know, so it came really nice, the kajus on the top. So she prepared the thing, and now, one dog came and ate from the thing. Hey, napak now, can't eat the thing. So, she took another container, and she put it into that container, you know, more or less, the same, in the same way that it was, she placed it into that container and told her child, you know, well, this is now napakana, we can't eat it. It's anaja, you can't waste it, you know. Can't waste it. So that poor chap in the masjid now, you know, that someone comes to the masjid all the time, give it to him. So anyway, he went to that person in the masjid that used to come, perhaps the poor person, went and gave it to that man. So that man's luck, he put his hand exactly where the dog had taken, you know. So the child is cautioning that old man, please don't eat from here because the dog eats from there. Astaghfirullah. This man says, Alhamdulillah, you know, this gajar alwa, years it takes for me to get something like this. And my luck, I don't know what ibadat I have done, that my luck just struck today. So I got, after years I got this. So the child said, please don't eat from here because the dog eats from here. Astaghfirullah. Nauzubillah. Khabis kahika? All his napak is giving to me. And he threw that thing, I think broke. It was a container made of mud or whatever. That thing broke. Now the child began to cry. Khabis kahika? Kutte ka khana mujhe khilata hai. Aur phir rota hai. What are you crying for? It's dog food you're giving to me and then you're crying here. So now I'm crying because this container was meant for Babu. Babu is a small child, you know. The Babu's dirt, you know, filth now, number two, is collected in that, you see. Now my mother is going to hit me because that Babu's, this thing, container, you broke now. Now that which is absolutely redundant, waste, is not good for anything, is a Mari Bakri Khuda ke naam. What is not good for anything, anybody's use, anybody's consumption, that is give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're going to give this, then that's the type of thing you're going to get. But you give with a good heart. You give with a good intention, good heart. Like you had given well with respect, Allah Ta'ala grants it to you with respect. You're giving with respect, Allah Ta'ala grants it to you with respect. You give it with respect, Allah Ta'ala grants it to you with respect. Okay? So what we're talking of today, by the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that these two things, the world and the akhirat, are like co-wives. You're not going to strike a balance between the both. Whatever you try, whatever you do, you're not going to strike a balance. Now the question is, then how do you get this right? See, there's a lengthy hadith which says that Bani Adam, his stomach is never satisfied. He gets two valleys of gold, he's waiting for the third one. He's aspiring for the third one. So he's never satisfied at any time. Then how do you get the satisfaction? You're talking about satisfaction in the weakness, human weakness you're talking about, then how do you get that satisfaction? So Rasulullah Pak Sallam's hadith are such, even the Quran is such, that if you just examine the Quran or the hadith, you'll find the solution there. When you find a problem, you'll find a solution. Exactly at that spot, you'll find a solution. But that's that you have to check carefully. You see carefully and you find the solution exactly at that same spot. So Rasulullah Sallam says there, وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مَنْ تَابُ. The one that turns totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala turns towards him. When you complain to Allah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala, I can't find my satisfaction. I can't find my ease. I can't find my contentment because my mind is such. You give me one opportunity and I want the second one. And you give me the second opportunity, I want the third one. It's a race. I'm going in a chakkar. I'm going in a circle all the time. Allah ta'ala, I don't want to make a circus of myself. That at the end of this whole story, when I'm about dying, then I understood that I was in a circus. So I'm just moving from one pole to the other pole, one post to the other post. I don't want to be like that. So Allah Ta'ala, with your grace, with your fazl, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, I'm turning towards you. I need your assistance. I need your attention, Allah Ta'ala. So you turn towards him entirely. وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مَنْ تَابُ. You've turned entirely towards Allah Ta'ala. What do you mean by when you say you turn towards Allah Ta'ala entirely? In other words, total conviction in him. Total trust in him. As Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah says, the Muslims in all ages, they overcame all situations, not because of the asbab. Because if you look at asbab and wealth, means, artillery, armor, etc., right? Then in all eras of human history, the kafirs had more of it. Artillery, weapons, whatever it was, asbab, means, they had much more. Then what was it that allowed the Muslim to overcome his enemy? It was the tawakkul and assigning your affair to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you assigned your affair, the more you trusted in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you turned to him, the more you cried to him, you took your moderate level of asbab and intizam, whatever you needed to take, You took your moderate levels. And thereafter you turn to Allah Ta'ala. You turn more. And every coming day, and your turning is more. You know, every turning day, every coming day, and your turning to Allah Ta'ala is more. It's increasing all the time. It's increasing all the time. So you're turning to Allah Ta'ala. Oh Allah Ta'ala, I turn towards you. Allah Ta'ala, I've got no other recourse. I've got no other sanctuary. So that turning, if it starts from now, then when it is the day that you are meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you turn completely towards Him. Then He is embracing you, my son, come away. As though He's saying, my child, you come away to me. So your turnabout is totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as though Allah ta'ala has opened His arms and He's just waiting for an embrace. Just waiting for you to embrace you. Because your turn is complete. When your turn is complete, then His acceptance and reception is also complete. When your turn is complete, then His reception is also complete. For that to happen, you can't be preparing yourself at the last, the 11th hour. All your life you've been doing this. And then you say, Allah Ta'ala, I want the business in Africa. And I want the investment and properties in London. And I want the debt in Madinah Munawara. As though you're planning your own life. That's what people do. No. Business in Africa, all the diamonds and the gold is here. Investments is in London, Paris, get all the investments there. And Allah Ta'ala, Madinah Munawara, Jannatul Baqi, I must die there. But it is not your wealth that brings about this type of situations and circumstances, not that. It's not the dressing. What? It's not the dressing and the outlook. It is the finishing. How you finished up. It's not the dressing, how you looked. لَيَّنَالَ اللَّهَ الْحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاهُ. It's not the finish. It's not the dressing. This was the dressing. This was the outlook of the car, of your clothing, of your beauty, of your business, whatever. That's not the thing that is counted by Allah Ta'ala. It is the finishing, how you finished up. And how you finished up. That's what Allah wants to see. So, that finishing comes right when you have finished yourself. You have finished yourself. Either I'm nothing. And Allah Ta'ala, when I'm nothing, then you're the only recourse, you're the only sanctuary, the only place that I've got. I've got no other place, no sanctuary I've got. This death and life is such an unpredictable thing. You hear it all the time, 30, 40, 50, no age restriction, and then Allah Ta'ala wills it, and then it's come, it's struck. Allama ibn Kasir, he writes in his tafsir, under the verse, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُ يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Wherever you be, and death will definitely overtake you. One person, he's working for his mistress, and the mistress had just delivered a child. So the mistress instructed him to go and get some fire from that side, next door. So as he leaves the house, one pious person asks him, what child was delivered? A girl. So he says, mark my words, that this girl is going to commit fornication. She's going to fornicate 100 times, and then she will die with the venom of a spider. She is going to fornicate 100 times, and she will then die because of the venom of a spider. So this worker got very angry, very upset. He went, pulled out his dagger, and stabbed this child. The mother, after all, it's a mother. The mother stitched up the wound immediately. This person said, I'll be caught now for murder. And he ran away from the town. Olden days now, talking of 7, 8, 9 centuries ago. He ran away. He accumulated a lot of wealth. And then he says, now let me go back to my hometown. Everything is forgotten. The child is dead now. Nobody will know and identify me. Anyway, he's accumulated a lot of wealth and he's come back. So then he asks, you know, which is the prettiest girl in this whole town? I got the money now. I got the bucks now. I can call the shots now. Which is the prettiest girl? Anyway, he got married. Now they began to introduce themselves. Who are you? Whatever else. Or which house you were living? Oh, no. She identified that house. Well, if you are that girl, after marriage now, then you must have fornicated 100 times. Yes, approximately. More or less, I have done that. Anyway, then he says to this woman, then mark my words that you're going to be dying because of the venom of a spider. Now, when the husband and wife, they love, in love and all that, he built up a big, nice, tall castle. He built that up for himself, for the protection of his wife. Now, when they're enjoying themselves, they're making love, whatever. And one day, he spotted a spider, and he showed it to her. You know what? You know what I told you? This is it. Say, oh, this is the thing that's going to kill me. She went towards it to stamp the thing. She stamped the thing, but the venom had got into the leg, and in a few moments, I think, reached up to the brains, and she died. So this is death. أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُ يُدْرِكُّمُ الْمَوْتِ. And really, when I think about it, right, this is Ibn Kathir, tafsir is a very reliable tafsir. What I'm saying is that when I think about it, death is such, the nature of death is such. You do everything. And before you know it, the game is up. Sometimes your child is gone, sometimes your wife is gone, sometimes you are gone, sometimes the immediate family is gone. But you did everything you have done, and the game is up. So this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you always in the process, you in the state of preparedness. Right? You in the state of preparedness. And if Allah hadn't created like this, then you say, no, I still got a long time. I still 50 years, 60 years, I got 70 years to my credit. It will happen whenever it needs to happen, then I'll make some preparation. Some indications are going to come, then I will die. I said, no, any time can strike any time. Sickness just came, and 7 months, 8 months down the line, and gone. So really, this is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we remain in the state of preparedness, readiness. And the easy thing that I spoke to is that there are two rivals, there are two co-wives. We need to understand that you're not going to strike a balance between the both. So you will have to prefer that which is lasting, which is enduring, which is guaranteed, against the one that is unpredictable.